we're slappy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to what I think is going to be the most interesting episode so far, only because my guest tonight is coming here with a story already.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it is. I just know it's going to be good.
Oh.
I just know it's going to be good. But before I get to that, let's first of all say thank you to all of my lovely friends who are listening out there. I'm calling you all friends, even if I don't know you personally. I know that we get along because you like what I'm doing here. So obviously I'm going to like you as a person. So you're my friend. And whether you're listening to this on iTunes, Stitcher, or off the website, whatsfordinnerpodcast.com, however you got here, I'm glad you got here. Thank you. And and this is also my first podcast coming back from my little road tour slash anniversary trip with Allison from Florida. So this is the first one back in the old living room slash studio. And I'm trying to think if there's you got to forgive me too. I'm a little flustered, dude. You came. You know what? I'm going to tell you my story.
Okay.
And then because I don't think mine is as good as yours.
Okay.
But it'll lead to yours. And I'll say right now, my guest, very, very funny comedian. And probably, I think, this you and I met with me doing my very first television spot.
Yes, I think that was mine, too.
Was that yours, too?
I think it might have been mine. I'm pretty sure.
Do you remember what year that was?
I don't even know. I just know we had to go down to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And for, finish your introduction. I'm sorry.
Like, okay, no,
people are like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah. Who the fuck is this? Ladies and gentlemen, Al Pacino is here.
I tell jokes. That's my worst
that
Al Pacino.
That is a horrible.
Horrible.
Not known for
horrible.
His impressions, but known for his brilliant comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Elliot Chang is here. I should have applause sound. That was actually good. And as I was saying, Elliot and I met. It was 1999, by the way.
Jesus.
So that gives you a little...
We've been in this game a long time.
A long time.
Yeah,
we both have. That was Que Loco.
On Galavision.
On Galavision.
Vision. Another knockoff or derivative. Like, there's Telemundo. There's, I forgot the other channels, but there's Galavision.
There's
and
CTV.
Yeah, CTV. That's
CTV.
Right. And that was it's funny because when I got the gig, I'm like, wait, what is it? Like, it's going to be on Spanish television. I'm like, but wait, like, is it English speaking comedians? And like, no, you are going to be performing in English. All the comics are performing in English. But it's going to be airing on Spanish television. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually, because I was shot at the old Rascals Comedy Club that
yes!
used to be in Miami, in
yes!
Kendall, Florida. And this is back in 99 when I was still living down there. I literally get a call at the 11th hour, like maybe 3 hours before broadcast, from the manager of the club saying, hey, Flip, we need, do you want to come down here and shoot a television thing? And I was like, Let me check.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I want to do it, but I want to make him think that, I got other shit I might have to do.
Right.
And called him back, went down there, and it was fun. It was really a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was really funny how, I remember that day they taped a bunch of shows. So what they did was, I remember at one point, they just told the audience to get up and everyone switched
seats.
And move
their tables,
it is a psychological fact that it does make, it kind of rejuvenates you because you're seeing things from a different scenery, different angle. And it did revive the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good, I forgot that they did that.
Yeah, I was just like, what are they doing? What? Because I remember like, this is taking so long because we were stopping and starting. And then I'm like, oh, they're not going to be, energized when I get up there. But they're just like, no, we're going to move them around. They were fantastic. And dude, it was the same thing. That was either my first or second TV thing. And because I know the other thing I did was like this New York cable channel called like Metro Channel. So it only aired in New York. But I know like I had those two back to back within like maybe like a month of each other. So
that
must
have been cool.
So I know like, but I'm pretty sure K-Loco was probably the first one. But yeah, I was like, what? It sounds weird. But I'm like, well, you know what? I don't have any credits and they're flying me down there. And I think, they paid us something on top of that. I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, what do I have to lose? Yeah, I have nothing to lose, nothing to do. So,
exactly. I still have my K-Loco set up on my website.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't. I know.
It was a good set. It really was a good set.
No, yeah, yeah. But, I know I have the VCR tape somewhere. I just can't find it. I've been meaning to put it up on my website. I can't find my tape. But I do remember you killed that night because I always remember the one specific joke you did that killed. It was like doing that when you do that act out in slow motion. You remember? It's like the athletic coach watching a game. And you're just like, I wish I could see those in slow-mo. And you do this act out of this coach, like, watching his team mess up. And you flip the table. You're
that wasn't me.
No, dude. Oh, no, no, no. Or it's the...
that wasn't me.
No, no. Or it's the...
I think I know the one you're talking about, though.
Is it about... why am I thinking shark?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
It was... yeah, no, no. It was... The bit was a guy who was on a reality... Some video reality show explaining how he got was fishing and got caught a shark.
But they have to bleep out all
right,
the...
but he was from New York. Yeah. So the joke was like, he's doing a story, but they're bleeping out his curse words.
Dude, I just realized...
Can reeling.
Yeah. And it's funny. I just realized the reason I switched that up, because there's only two act outs like that I ever remember. And the one I just mixed you up with Tom Shalhoub in New York, because he's the one that does the act out. But it's like this really, you know... really intricate act out that when I was watching, like, how are you doing that and executing it? And I'm like, well, clearly, I'm sure he's worked on this bit many times.
Right.
But yes, that's how long we've known each other.
Long time. Yeah. Well, I'm very glad to have you on here, man.
Yeah. I was looking forward to it when you brought it up. I was just like, just got to get to Burbank.
Okay. Now that's okay. That's okay. Going to bring to the story. I'm going to do my story first.
Please.
And I want to hear it. My story. It's like the most stupidest technological fuck up I could do. Are you a computer person at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, this goes out to all the nerds who I'm not even that computer savvy, as you'll hear in the story. But basically, what I did is yesterday I was trying to change a file. Like, I was following instructions to change something within my computer, and basically it wasn't allowing me to. It said I didn't have access. So it was on my C drive, and what I did is I went to the properties on my C drive, went to security. Allowed everybody access so I could try to change this.
Right.
It wasn't working. So I went back because I didn't want to keep allow. And my problem, Elliot, is I do not think. When it comes to certain things, I just want to get this over with.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think. I just know the end result. I don't care how I get there. I just want to get there. And this time it bit me in the ass hard, because what I did is I figured, since I allowed everything permission, let me just deny everything permission.
Right.
And I remember I put everything deny, and there was a warning thing that came up, and I went, whatever.
Whatever. It's like, are you sure?
Sure.
Whatever.
I'm like, whatever. Then I realized, wait a minute, I can't get into my C drive. I pretty much locked myself out of my own computer.
Oh, my God.
A lot of my files, all my programs can't work because they have to access from... So I'm freaking out because I got shit that I need. You know, the computer, as a comic, a computer is very important.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but like, I edit my own videos.
I do everything myself. Yeah.
So imagine you couldn't have access to your computer. It's like your whole business, your whole life just which is sad in and of itself that my whole life was put on hold because of a computer. And Allison, my wife, is looking at me like, yeah, I know, you fucking nerd. But long story very short, I had a friend of mine who's an IT guy who came over. He worked on it for 2 hours. He's like, dude, I have no idea what to do.
Oh, my God.
So I called Geek Squad today.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to call the Geek Squad.
Called the Geek Squad and explained to them what was going on. The guy takes access of my computer, and I'm on the phone with him for like 40 minutes, and he's like, he kept saying, I've never seen this before. I've never seen this before. He's calling in other geeks to come in.
Oh, my
God.
And
I'm picturing this whole office of nerds going, what did this fucking guy do?
Yeah.
So the guy said, you know, you don't have to stay on the phone with me the whole time. I'll call you when I'm done or whatever.
Yeah.
So I hang up the phone, but I could still see him doing all this shit on my computer.
Okay.
So while waiting for you to come,
I
went in, watched a little what he's doing, and then I noticed, like, oh, my God, wait. Oh, my God. He fixed it.
Oh.
He hasn't called me to confirm, but from what I see on my computer, it's all available again.
Okay.
So I'm breathing the biggest sigh of relief, and I highly recommend the Geek Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I've never had to go to them.
That's what they do.
They, you know what? They live up to their name.
They have nothing else to do.
They have
nothing else to do.
Basically, fixing my computer was their equivalent of us doing K-Loco.
Yeah, pretty much.
They have nothing else to do. Let's fix this. But I'm like, before you, if you would have gotten here an hour ago, and we're doing this, I'd be just like, yeah, no, that's great. Just looking over
to see
if my computer is it going. But now I'm like, I'm relaxing.
Dude, I've been there. I know exactly how that feels when something screws up with your computer. You have to call that friend in an emergency, that one friend who knows his shit, in an emergency, and all you're doing is just waiting. And you feel helpless, too, because you're like, I can't do anything. I don't know anything. So you're just waiting, and you just look over, and every now and then he's like, give me some more time. And then when they finally go, I fixed it. There was a sigh of relief.
Sigh.
She's like,
you can ask
and that
Allison.
My friend is Gus at the Geek Squad. Gus, thank you.
That's right, Gus at the Geek Squad.
Right.
Like, I'm watching and I see him do it and I go,
preventing my husband's heart attack.
Yeah. And Allison's like, what? I go, he fixed it.
Yeah. They must go through that all day. Think about it. If you're at the Geek Squad, that means like every day there's someone going, oh my God, thank you so much, my computer, you know.
Well, if Gus from the Geek Squad is listening to this, many thank you. Totally worth the money.
Yes.
So, again, I'm feeling better, relaxed. I could be in this. I could be 100% in this podcast.
Good. I felt bad. I felt bad that I was running late. I hate being late to anything.
Oh, me too.
And if I'm running late, I always like text like, hey, 10 minutes, whatever. But today was really like everything was pushed back. So
walk me through this. Now, the last I heard from Elliot, we set this up a couple nights ago at Melrose.
Yes.
Confirmed you can do it yesterday.
Yeah.
Got a message from you today saying got a last minute audition, which I hope went well.
Yeah.
We'll be there sometime after 5.
Right.
So start from there.
Right. And I just walked in at like 7:30, people. So like this is what happened. All right. So first of all, I'll backtrack it to the audition, even though that's only a small part of it. So like, first of all, I'm about to rant on auditions, and I don't want to I don't want your listeners to think like, you know, I don't want to start this negative because I'm a really happy guy. Normally,
you are a happy guy.
I'm a very happy guy, but I hate, first of all, the auditions. Like, I hate why is it that you get like maybe sometimes 12-hour notice. You know, I don't understand, like, when a company knows they want to, like, cast something, like, why can't they just give you, like, maybe 2 days' notice to be like, hey, so we call you on Monday, your audition's on Wednesday. Almost 90% of my auditions are, like, you get a call at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're like, hey, tomorrow morning at 10. I'm like, all right, so you're only giving me, like, a couple of hours tonight to work on it if it's something I need to work on, which means basically you have to cancel anything you're doing, which sucks. I mean, I act too, but I mean, I've said this many times, and I'm sure Flip will agree. Like, I am so glad I'm a comedian because we can always just perform if we want to, and we're not always like, every time we perform or have to audition for something, we're not nailed down to like, well, I have to just cancel all my plans today and do, you know, prepare. So, but I get this thing, and first of all, it's an industrial where I'm like, right away, I'm like, you know what? Who gives a fuck?
Shit.
Yeah, it's like, no one sees industrials. They don't pay, you know, really well. So it's like, whatever. And now with, like, you know, reality TV, a lot of auditions are commercials. The majority, especially with comics, the majority are auditions, for me anyway, are commercials. And pretty much almost all commercials are really corny, crappy, shitty writing. And I'm like, ugh. But I always go because every now and then I book something and then it'll pay so much. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did this.
Right.
Because I did a commercial for Lowe's. Like 4 years ago, and for 3 years I was getting residual checks. I'm like, oh my God, because it was supposed to be for like 4 months, but then they were like, no, they're extending it, and for 3 years I consistently got residual checks, and I'm like, that's found money, you know.
Absolutely, I get that. But do you get Sound Exchange?
What does that mean?
Do you have a CD out?
No.
Oh. Well, then never mind.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Never mind.
All right. So clearly Flip's on another level.
when you do a CD,
okay,
contact me and I'll hook you up big time.
All right, cool. Or the Geek Squad. So I have an industrial audition. So I'm like, fine. All right, I'll go in for this. So I go in. The audition's at 4:30. So, which sucks that, you know, it's always in the middle of the day where I'm like, well, I have to tell Flip, like, hey, because I wanted to do this early. I want to do this like 2 or 3 just to avoid traffic. I can get up here quick. Drive back quick, you know, so I'm like, the audition's at like 4:30, then, you know, I'm gonna have to come up here around 5, and like that, I already know it's gonna be rush hour traffic, so I get there, and they're running, of course, they're running late, and that's one thing I can't stand. It's like, if you show up late, they kind of give you dirty looks, and they're like, but auditions are running late all the time, so they were running about 45 minutes to an hour late. I'm
Jesus. And where was the audition?
It was at on Sycamore Avenue by like off Santa Monica. So it wasn't that far from me, and it was close to my gym. But the thing is, it was just like, okay, I get there, and basically there are no sides, there's no scripts. All you're doing is just improvising. Like, hey, it's 4 Asian people. Pretend you're a family, and I'm like, okay. And don't, dude. I mean, those are the auditions I hate when it just says like Asian people. I'm like, so it's not even about my talent. It's just like, you look the part. Just be Asian.
Just be Asian.
Just be Asian.
Hey, at least you can do that. I can't.
Imagine
if I walk in with like,
you know. But so we were waiting, and then they group us at least 4. Like, it's me, quote unquote, the wife actress, and then 2 children, and then they finally group us together. So we're just sitting there, just waiting for like 20 minutes to finally move in there, and then we do it, and. That's the thing. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. So you're waiting for 45 minutes. Once you go in the room, you're in there for like 2 minutes. And I'm like, great. I'm so glad I waited that long. And then I left. And the thing is also, I know like it's all this waiting for something where I'm like, you know, it's really like all I am is a moving headshot. you could have just said, like, you know, can we just see this guy's headshot? And, like, yeah, he fits the part. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but whatever. So that already pushes back my day. I'm like, great.
By the way, if there's anybody listening who was thinking of casting Elliot in an industrial, I'm sure he will still take it.
I will still take it. Okay. I will still take it. So so the thing is, and so I call you, and I'm like, you know, I'm right next to my gym. So I'm like, I call Flip, and I'm like, hey, dude, is it okay if I can come a little bit later? Like, let me come at 6:15 because I want to work out first since I'm right here by my gym, and then come by. But then, I gave you the option. I'm like, hey, I can come now and just... And reverse it.
And it's funny, when you did call me is right when the Geek Squad started working on my computer. Right. So I was like, you know what? 6:15 is great.
Exactly.
You take your time.
You know what's really funny? The fact that you answered me right away, like, that's fine. And I'm like, something's going down.
Something's going down.
Like, right away, and I'm like, Flip's in the middle of something. He's doing laundry. He's painting. He's doing something. Because you're like 6:15.
I was painting my laundry, actually. That's pretty much what I was.
I want all my clothes to be the same color. So right away, I knew, like,
lavender.
All right. I was like, something's going down. I'm like, because you were like, 6:15 is perfect. I'm like, oh, cool. And I felt better. I'm like, oh, good. Because if you were like, okay, then I would have felt bad, you know. So then I went to the gym, and my plan was this. I'm like, all right, so I was only going to the gym for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, I'm going to have to eat as soon as I get out. But I don't know if you know the restaurant Bossa Nova on Sunset Boulevard. It's a really great restaurant.
Do we know that?
Is that the, like, it's a Brazilian food
place?
Yeah,
it's a Brazilian.
Oh, delicious.
It's delicious. And I know them because they're one of the restaurants that are open really late, to like 3 a.m. And so what I normally do is, that place knows me so well. When I call, my number comes up, and I'm like, yeah, I want to order a pickup order. And they're like, Elliot? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, chicken stroganoff with rice and plantains? Yeah. Extra bread? Yeah. Okay, it'll be ready in 15 minutes. I'm like, perfect. So, they have me on their, like, list.
That's cool.
And it's perfect timing, because it's like a 10 to 15-minute drive to the restaurant. So I'm like, perfect. I'm going to go there. It's right by Highland. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to leave the gym, pick up my food, and then drive here, and then I would just eat here for like 10 minutes and do the podcast.
Yeah.
You know? Perfect timing, no problem. You know, and so I head over there, I pick up my stuff, I'm heading over to Highland, and I just happen to think, like, let me, you know, something just tells me, like, let me look in the bag, you know. And they forget, and by the way, everything I'm about to say sounds like a stupid reason for being late, all right? I look in the bag, and they forgot my bread, okay? Which is, to me, okay, again, I'm just being anal. People are like, what is up your ass, Ellie? But to me, the bread is a big part of the meal.
We have bread here.
You don't have Bossa Nova bread.
I don't. You're
okay.
Right.
But the Bossa Nova bread, I mean, it just goes perfect with the sauce that they have in the bag. So, like, I want to dip in. It all goes together. And my thing is this. I'm going to be really anal, but my thing is, I cannot stand incompetence when it comes to basic things. Like, when I specifically request, don't forget the bread. Like, that's a part of, like, my phone call. Like, yeah, don't forget the bread. And they're like, yeah. And, like, I'm sure to them, they're like, why is this dick telling us not to forget? We're not going to forget the bread. But exactly what do?
They forget the bread.
So I have to turn around. And the thing is, you know, I could have been like, fuck it, I'll just keep going to Flip. But in my head, I'm like, you know what? I want to go get my bread.
There's a principle.
It's the principle. I'm sure they're like, what? It's like 25 cent bread. I'm like, yeah, but I could understand if I didn't say anything. But the fact that I made a point in the phone call saying, and bread, you know, and they were like, oh, okay, no problem. So I turn around, I drive all the way back, which, you know, I mean, that, you know, that loop adds like another 10 minutes from Highland, whatever. But then...
So you were on Highland and you had a loop?
I was about to turn onto Highland, but, okay. So I had to get off. And by the way, people who don't live in LA are like, what are you guys talking about? But basically, I had to loop around. All right?
Got it.
And so I go in, and of course, I give them my dirty, you forgot to look. You forgot the bread look. And I'm like, I just walk. I don't even smile. Because they're like, hey, like, why am I back? And I just look at the woman like, you forgot my bread. You know? And I'm just there pouting.
You're such a diva.
A
bread diva.
So I just stare at the woman as she gets the bread, and I just take it and I just walk. I don't even say thank you. I just take it and I just walk out. And even when I'm walking out, I'm like, that was pretty dicky. You should have just said thank you. You know? I mean, everyone has a bad day. I don't know what happened to her today. She might have just forgot by accident. You know? But this is my mistake. So, because the way I parked my car when I went into ran in for the bread, I couldn't go down one way. I had to go up. Basically, no one knows what I'm talking about except Flip or people who live in Hollywood. I ended up having to go on Franklin Avenue, which is like fucking Doom Alley on rush hour.
Oh, Jesus.
So, and, you know, I don't know why. I said to myself, dude, I think it's going to be bad. But I'm like, yeah, but if I have to turn around and go on Sunset, I'll just go take a risk. Dude, Franklin Avenue is just basically a parking lot.
And rush hour. Totally.
And the worst thing is, the reason I call it Doom Alley, like, once you're on it, you can't really get off it. You know, it's like...
Well, actually, there is. And again, I apologize for anybody who doesn't live in Hollywood. But, honey, isn't that... That way, like, off Franklin by the Magic Castle to take you all the way around to Barham?
Are you talking about when we're on Franklin? You can go up Outpost. And Outpost will take you all the way up to Mulholland. Mulholland will take you over and will cut all around and it'll dump you on Cahuenga right next to Barham.
I wish I knew that. By the way, this is such this is such an L.A. conversation.
It really is an L.A. conversation.
I took the 101 to the 5 and then...
Do you ever notice that we always say the in front of our numbered highways? Yet if we go, like, home, if you're from another state, we'll just call it... Like, we're from Florida, it's 95. Yeah. And, like, everybody on the
95.
East Coast. We take 95, not the 95. Yeah. People would look at us like we're nuts.
We take the
But here, everything is so elite that we're like, it's the 101. It's the 110.
I was on Mr. 105.
I want
105.
The extra bread.
Yeah. So I was, and the whole time I'm like, I mean, by the way, after this whole story, like, I have no one to blame but myself. I mean, like, I should have known, like, dude, why'd you go on Franklin? And bottlenecking into the 101. And then, you know, I should have guessed that, you know, it's still the summer. So it took forever to get to Franklin just to get onto Highland. And then from Highland to the 101, obviously I should have thought about it, but there was some kind of event at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, fuck!
Yep, so, that'll fuck you too.
So, I mean, I literally was on that maybe 1 mile area for like 15 to 20 minutes just sitting there. And then, I mean, literally, because like once I got on the 101, I think I was on the 101 for like 5 minutes. There was there was no traffic. And I zipped up. And once I got, once I got to this area, I got here no problem. And I'm like, dude, I just tagged on 45 extra minutes because I wanted
That's
fucking
bread. It's funny. I get your texts, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? You go, it'll 20 minutes, long story. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he got a ticket.
Right, you know, because
I even left you a voicemail saying, hey, yeah, at first I was like, dude, when are you going to be here? I'm like, but actually, that's awful. First, I hope you're okay. I hope you're in a neck. This is Jewish guilt, Jewish mother. He got into an accident. He's out wearing clean underwear. Oh, Mr. Chang.
And his last words were, tell Flip, I'm sorry.
This podcast is dedicated to Elliot Chang.
Yeah.
We're going to bury him in bread.
I understand how important bread can be, so I'm on your
side.
But
really, it was the principle.
It's the principle. I understand the principality of it.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Sure.
Principality?
Principality.
I think that's what you are when you're in the monarchy. You have a principality. Okay. Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
I think that's the prince's best friend. It's the prince's pal. That's,
but I'm trying to think of two other foods that go together that you would go back because they forgot to put this in. Like,
it depends. Like, honestly, if it's good bread, I can understand. Like,
you know, what's funny. It's okay bread.
okay bread. I wouldn't have on rush hour. I wouldn't have gone back for
The bread,
like
okay.
Cheesecake Factory bread.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd go back for,
you know, like Red Lobster cheddar cheese bread. You know, cheddar cheese biscuits. But the thing is, like, their bread only tastes great with their sauce. Like, their bread on their own is like eh, but with their sauce, with the stroganoff sauce.
Where's the food, by the way?
Oh, it's in the car.
You didn't even bring it up?
Oh, no. Because
I want to see this fucking bread.
Now it's going to be stale and useless. No, but...
the whole thing was pointless?
No, wait.
Tell me you ate the bread before it went stale.
What I did do, though, when I did pick up the bread, when I did get to my car, I did stop for 5 minutes and eat. I was like, you know what, because of the whole loop, I'm like, let me eat something now. You know, so I did end up eating like maybe like half of it. So like I'm good. Like, don't worry, I'm good. I was like, let me just eat something now because this has extended the time as to when I thought I was going to eat. So like, let me just eat something now so I'm not starving during the podcast. So that's why when I came up, I'm like, dude, because it's funny because I park my car, I start walking, I see Flip in the distance going like, hey, and I'm like, he's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, let's just save it for the podcast. We both said the same thing, like save it for the podcast. I don't know if it was worth it, but that was my life.
I wish there was some kind of like medical emergency.
I know.
Dude,
or like something metaphysical or crazy, like
ninjas, aliens.
Or, you know, like this fucking Playboy model passed out on the side of the road right in front of me. What was I gonna do?
I had to give her dick to mouth resuscitation. That was the only thing that would bring her back.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Dick to mouth. Do you use that?
No, I just said that right now.
You've got to use it. That's the funniest thing.
Quick, give her dick to mouth resuscitation.
I think
if
both
you don't
just
use it, can Skippy Green use
it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a very Skippy Green
kind
of thing.
Absolutely, dude.
Oh, my Lord.
But anyway.
But you heard it here first. Cat. By the way, when she sees a bird, she chirps at it. Do you hear our cat in the background chirping?
Yeah, I just saw the cat like...
She doesn't do that meow to anybody but the birds.
Really?
It's very
so maybe
strange.
The bird and the cat have a very specific relationship.
She chirps. She'll tweet chirp at it. It's crazy.
They're crazy cats.
But anywho.
But, crazy cats. Well, I'm I'm honestly glad it wasn't anything serious. I'd rather it's something stupid like that. We can make fun of it as opposed to something really serious. But I'm, now that all that's out of the way, again, I'm very glad to have you here, my friend.
Thank you.
And for those who don't know Elliot, and I don't know how you can't, I like I was talking about Elliot and I, we met way back in the day doing the Que Loco.
Yeah.
And you were living in New York at the time, right?
Yeah, I was living in New York, and I had just started stand-up. I think that was like one of the, like, I think that was like my second year in. So.
Can I? I don't want to ask your age. I know that's not a no-no, but you're over 30, right?
Yes. You can say I'm over 30. I'm legal.
You're
legal.
Nice. Good, so when we get him
drunk. You're not collecting Social Security quite yet.
Right, not just yet.
Okay,
not
when
just
we get him drunk and rape him, it'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, did we not tell you about that part of the podcast?
Oh, actually, I was hoping that'd be a requirement of every podcast that I do. Like, I pretend like, oh, I don't want this to happen. Don't rape me. Okay, go ahead.
You are in love. Actually, I was going to say, do you want to get the Phil?
Oh, God, no.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Call back to another podcast.
Call back to the Phil Barone podcast. But Elliot Chang, so you started doing comedy, so I guess around 97, you were saying?
I think it was like 96, 97. So
you were
it's over 10 years, yeah. So, like, I literally, like, you know where I started? The original Gotham Comedy Club.
I did
the
research on you.
Oh, okay.
Started in the original Gotham Club when you were there on an open mic night and found out another friend of yours did comedy, and you're like, well, if he could do it, I can do it.
Yeah, it was just that thing, because, like, I mean, my friends were just, in high school, my friends were constantly like, you really should be a comedian. I'm like, you know, I mean, I think before you are a comedian, that just sounds like a weird thing. It's like, who does, that's like saying, go be a pirate. It doesn't sound like a real thing. It doesn't sound like, you know, like comedians.
Go be a pirate. Hey, you know, you've got a big beard and one leg. You like birds.
You like
you've
birds.
You've got an affinity for gold.
Just poke out an eye and you got it made.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, you know, I look back. It's really funny in hindsight. I look back. I was really funny in high school. I didn't think I was funny in high school. I just enjoyed joking around with friends. But I look back. I'm like, I really think I was funnier in high school than I am now. Because
there's no pressure in high school.
That's what it is. There's no pressure. You're just goofing around with your friends. There's no, like, you know, there's no spotlight on you. And also, when you're young, you're just invincible. You just don't think about things. You're just bold. And as you're an adult, you're like, well, now with YouTube, and I have to be careful what I say, and, you know, is this going to offend the audience? But I was freer when I was younger. I really, literally, in the past, like, 2 or 3 years, have made a point of, like, I need to get back to that freedom. Because I think I did a full circle where I started concentrating so much on the writing, which is not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, I concentrated so much on, like, well, you know, I got to be like a wordsmith and the writing has to be strong. But then I kind of forgot on how powerful just enjoying the set is. Like, people feel that. They
see
that.
But you know
what?
I think there could be a very good balance of that. Because, like, when I first started, I was goofy. I was I always do the analogy. I was a nuclear bomb of energy.
Right.
Like, just energy going everywhere without any focus.
Right.
It was, and like Jim Carrey and Robin Williams had a baby.
Yeah, yeah. And then gave it meth. That was that was pretty much my comedy.
I can attest to that, yes.
But then, like, what I realized later on is just, like, too much energy and too much goofiness, the audience is exhausted.
Yeah.
And they're not sure what to make of it.
Yeah.
So I use the energy instead, like, I say, like a laser beam, just focused on certain things to punctuate. And I've also, like, become very aware of the writing and how important the writing can be.
Yeah.
But I've also held on to that core of the goofiness to kind of infuse with the writing.
No, it's who you are.
Yeah, but I think there is definitely a way to balance the two.
Absolutely.
To go from one extreme to the other, like somewhere right in the middle is a good place to live.
You want to connect your inner child to the audience's inner child, because that's something that really bonds an audience to a performer. When they you know, it's a little thing. It's kind of like, you know, they can't even, it's kind of not tangible. They don't even understand what's going on. But subconsciously, they're connecting to you because, like, oh, this is making me happy. I don't know really why, but it's making me happy.
Exactly.
You know, and, but yeah, absolutely. Like, you don't want to be, I think if you're too goofy, you won't have longevity because you kind of only appeal to a young mind.
Yeah.
And then as your audience gets older and you don't grow, you know, then they disconnect with you. It's like, well, this is stupid.
You know what? You know who I think is a perfect example of that? Mm-hmm. Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Because Dane, you know, obviously everybody knows Dane Cook. And they know him as, you know, from his early Comedy Central, his HBO, when he was, you know, Dane Cook.
Right.
And if you see him now, he's darker.
Yeah.
His material's darker. He doesn't really do the goofy characters.
He doesn't act out as much. He doesn't do the act outs as much as he used to.
Totally. And I think he realized that he painted himself into a corner.
Yeah.
And now he's pretty much trying to I'm very impressed with
that. Yeah, no, I still enjoy
he's pretty much reimagining himself.
Yeah.
at the height of his popularity.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
balls.
I mean, you know, it's funny because like I knew of Dane before he blew up. I was just like, hey, and I connected with it because I was a goofy guy who's a goofy guy. And then he blew up huge, and then there was a lot of backlash. But then I noticed, like, yeah, a couple years into his fame, like I noticed how his act was changing, and I'm like, I think it's a couple of things. I think like maybe there is backlash he's hearing about. And he wants to show that, no, you know, I'm also a writer. But then also, I think you just grow up. You just get more mature, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, so I started at the Gotham, and basically because, you know, I had a friend who just mentioned, he's like, yeah, you know, I did an open mic. Oops, excuse me, I just burped. And it just, it hit me like a wave. I'm like,
was that bread burp?
It was bread burp. Blah, boss it over. But like, my friend told me he did stand-up, and like he just didn't open. And it's funny, because he just did it once. I don't think he ever did it again. He just did it to do it. And it occurred to me, I was like, well, he's a normal dude, and like, is it possible that you can just go up and do it? And I was just, you know, and I knew of the Gotham Comedy Club. I know I'd been in there to watch shows before, and then I was walking by, and I'm
but
like...
But you never had an inkling to do comedy before?
No, I never, it just never occurred to me that it was something that I could do. You know, like, I mean, I did plays in high school, and I thought, like, maybe being an actor might be something that's a possibility, but comedy just seems so far-fetched, because like... You know, I mean, there are no schools for it. It's just like, how do you become a comedian, you know? And God. I was walking by an open mic, and then I was like, well, all right, you know? And I thought about it. I'm like, well, no one knows I'm here today. You know, I'm in front of this club. I'm like, you know, it's like the mic, I think the mic had started like 30 minutes ago, and I was like, well, let me just go on. If I can get on, I'll get on. And I got on. I had nothing prepared. I bombed big time. I bombed like, I fucking gorilla ball sucked. I was awful. I remember clearly how I got zero laughs. I think I got one like chuckle in the very beginning because the first thing I said is like, I got up and jokingly I said, oh, please don't heckle me. Like, that's the first thing I said. Everyone's like, ah. And then I just sucked for like 3 to 5 minutes. And I was like, God, that was awful. But the thing is, what's really weird is, so I didn't really have an inkling to ever be a stand-up comic. But the second I got on stage, and I always say this story, like the second I got on stage and I saw the mic in front of me and the angle of looking down the audience and seeing the audience below you and you're on the stage, it just clicked where I'm like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm.
Like it just felt like right. It felt like it fit like a glove. I'm like, this is right. This is what I should be doing, you know. So that was it. And I never stopped.
That's awesome, man.
That's so awesome.
See, I guess this, some people, it happens later for some. Like I knew when I was literally 6 years old, I was going to be
really
a comedian. My first time doing comedy, I was 8.
Wow.
I was in a talent and I won.
Really?
And, yeah. And then
the trophy was bigger than he was.
As my dad would
did
say.
Did you open with the dick to mouth resuscitation?
It was actually
How
Skip.
Did you know?
I did Skippy Green back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, Skippy Green.
Skippy's where I started. No, I did stupid. I did like impressions right. that my dad taught me.
But who did you watch? That
Robin
you
Williams,
on?
Steve really? Martin, Howie Mandel.
Right.
And my dad used to like. He'd, I wouldn't say make me watch, but he would always bring me in to watch like Nick at Night, old
right.
like Car 54, Where Are You,
right.
My Three Sons, and just like I was always infused with comedy. And then when I saw like Robin Williams, these guys, I'm like, oh, you could, that's what you can do. And like,
right.
I mean, honest to God, since I was a kid, it's what I knew. It's like what you said, when you're young, you have no fear, you don't know any better. I didn't know how to do it. I just knew I was going to do it.
That's great. I kind of wish, like, I wonder how my life would have turned out, because I didn't start doing stand-up till a couple years after college.
It doesn't really help. I started when I was younger, and we're both at the same level, so let's not split hairs
here.
I don't know,
because, like, I mean, all the big ones, all the greats, like Rock, Chappelle, Hicks, like, you know, a lot of people you hear, like, they started when they were, like, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, maybe it takes like 4 or 5 years to get over the uncomfortability on stage and finding your voice. And like, you know, it just would have happened sooner. But I do agree, you know, it really doesn't matter, because I've told younger comics who're starting out, like, it doesn't matter. There's no rush. Like, the point is, it doesn't matter if it happens sooner or later, as long as it happens for you.
Right.
It really doesn't, because once it happens, no one ever goes, you know, like, oh, I'm not enjoying my career because it took me longer than the average
comic.
No,
you appreciate it more.
Yeah, that's what
totally.
I was going to say, that because like, I think that a lot of people, a very common, I don't want to like pat myself on the back, but a very common comment I get from a lot of people who know me as a person is like, they're just like, hey, you know, you're not acting the way I would expect you to act because you're a comedian. Like, and I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, well, you're not always on, you're not always joking around. I'm like, well, I'm not like that, because I think a big part of it is that I worked in the corporate world before I became a comic.
What did you do in the corporate?
I was like a Wall Street stockbroker for like 2 years.
Are you
serious?
Wow.
Yeah, right before I became a comedian. That was like the last 9-to-5 job. And you know, before that, I was in college. I, you know, again, like, comedy wasn't something I thought I'd be doing.
And I think just being in that world grounded me as a person to not be like too zany and like more realistic about life. And then, because I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of, like, sometimes you see actresses who are, like, literally coming out of college or 21. They come to Hollywood. And I'm like, you know, you don't have a basis in reality because, like, that's being an actress is all you've known. Like, I think you might be more grounded if you just had, like, one real job before you became an actress, you know? And by the way, I don't want to make a blanket statement. There are plenty of actors I've met where I'm like, I don't know how this is possible, but you're totally normal. Either you have a great family who brought you up right, but you've been acting your whole life and you're not insane. You know, so
yeah, I I've never had a real job. I've had, like, when I was in high school, I McDonald's and you know, grocery stores, Chuck E. Cheese, things like that. But I've never had a 9-to-5. Never had to
wait tables.
He's never waited tables.
Acting and comedy is all he's ever done.
What do you remember? Do you remember what was your first paid gig as a comic?
Yeah, still have a copy of the check. It was in 1994. I want to say January. Mm-hmm. I hosted a show at the same bar I did my first open mic on. Uh-huh. I got $25 for it. Uh-huh. Ate a gorilla dick the whole time. It was awful. I'd never hosted a day in my life. I didn't know how to host. Right. I just didn't really have proven material. I just had ideas because there wasn't really a... I think I'd only open mic maybe 3 or 4 times before that over a 2-year period. Right. So I really didn't know what I was doing. But yeah, I still have a copy of the $25 check. Well, but I'll tell you, it was the greatest moment of my life.
Oh yeah,
I'm like,
oh yeah,
I got paid to do comedy.
Yeah, wait. So your entire life, your sole income has been from comedy, one way or the other.
Well, no. Again, in high school, I had like day jobs, but I was still living with
my
parents.
But you were in high school. You can't really count.
Yeah,
that.
No. After I graduated high school in 90
Chuck E. Cheese?
Something, 90 right. something, I was going to college and I had worked at like a movie theater and things like that. But I was going to college for theater.
Right.
And then in 96, I got a job doing theater in Texas for the summer. Did summer stock. Did that for 2 years, 96 and 97, those summers.
Wow.
Then I came back in 97, and in that August, I had 4 weeks of comedy booked locally.
Wow!
So I went, well, let me see if I could do this full time now.
Right.
And haven't stopped.
Dude, that's crazy. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, a big achievement. I mean, I hope you appreciate one big achievement of yours in addition to your, you know, your great comedy act is like the fact that for anyone who doesn't know, like for as long as I've known Flip has been a very just normal, cool dude for as long as I've known him, you know, just very nice. Every time I've bumped into him, it's always been like, hey, what's up, dude? We catch up. And you've never been like, you've never gone insane. You've never gone crazy. You've never like as the I know his wife is like, well, I don't know about that, but as you've moved up, you know, the ladder, as we all have in comedy, you've never, you know, I've never seen you be like, yeah, you know, I don't talk to people below me or something like that. You know, you've always been a cool dude.
But you know what, I'm sorry that this is turning into a me thing for a second, but I've never, well, one, I could never see myself doing that anyway,
right.
But I've never really seen myself at that level that I actually would have the ability to say that, you know?
Right. There are comics who literally, like, I mean, I think we all know comics who, like, say have, like, zero credits, but they're like, well, I've been doing comedy for 8 years, so you're beneath me. And you just feel that vibe. It's like, dude, like, we're all in the same boat until we're famous. So it doesn't even matter, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, I've said this so many times, I've been doing comedy for over 10 years or whatever. Like, I've been funny for 4. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I was able to get laughs in the beginning, but I mean, you'll know, like, there's a big difference between getting laughs and, like, that guy's funny.
Exactly.
Like, because, like, we can all, I could write down an hour of hacky jokes that anyone could perform, anyone could come up and hand that to a newbie and be like, go ahead and perform this. You will slay. You will kill. It's all, like, black people and white people are different jokes. They're, like, you know.
But I think that's the thing. When you start out, you go to that well because you don't know
You don't
anything.
Know anything. Yeah. You don't
know
anything
any different. Like, I have, like, every so often I listen to, like, one of my first CDs that I put out, like, in actually that same year that we did K Loco, 99, my first CD. And the material is so hack. So awful. And I'm embarrassed for most of it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm embarrassed about my very first Comedy Central Premium Blend appearance. I hate it. And, I mean, everyone seems to love it. But I'm like, yeah, because you're not a comic.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, if comics watch this, they could dissect it piece by piece, like, oh, give me a fucking break, you hack. Like, every little thing. Like, I literally came out and was like, what's up? New York's the best city in the world, right? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Who likes air? You know, it was just so cheesy, you know? But what I'm saying is, like, for some, I mean, dude, like, you're the one of the few comics I know that have gone to, like, Iceland or whatever and, like, killed. And I've seen YouTube clips where you're killing. And I'm like, I'm telling you, there are comics who would come back from that and be like, I'm the shit. Like, they would just have this stink about them. And, I mean, there are comics at the Comedy Store who are doing nothing. And I'm not going to name names. That's the one thing on my podcast or other people's podcasts. I try not to name names. But there are people I'm like, I can't believe this guy acts like this. It's like, I should go on before him because I've been here longer. It's like, dude, who the fuck are,
you?
Yeah, it's like we're all in the same boat, you know?
I don't, you know, the store is fun and all, but I don't really hang out there that much. So
no,
I
try not to.
Just because of that attitude. There's the improv, even though the improv is a little more corporate than the store, the improv has this, like, family vibe to
it. No, it does.
Very much
you know,
so.
Yeah.
Right.
It has a light around it where you go and there's, like, a black aura, like, hole around Comedy Store. I mean, it's fun to play there, but you walk in, it's all black, and it's everybody's all black in their personality.
It's exactly it.
There's
a sense of, like you're saying, with a lot of guys who don't really, haven't earned it, but a sense of entitlement from a lot of guys.
Yeah, that's a great word, entitlement,
A sense of superiority comedically from a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And a lot of the comics at the Comedy Store comics are really funny.
Incredibly
talented.
And great people.
And great people, but there's a lot of, like, a lot of them that really bring the reputation of that club down, sadly. Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, the improv literally is a lighter place to be.
Yeah.
It's like, it's lighter. It's not black. It's not like a coffin. And the vibe there is just, you know, it is more a family vibe. Like, it's true. It is more corporate, but it's more family vibe. The best way to explain it is, like, because people are like, well, there's a family at the Comedy Store too. I'm like, it's different. I think the best way to describe it is, like, the improv feels more like a family. The Comedy Store feels more like a gang. You know, it's like it's these dudes, and it's like you're not part of our gang.
The improv is the Huxtables, and Comedy Store is married with children.
You know, that's a good analogy.
That's a good analogy.
I'll take that. You know, but and like you said, like
I'm trying to think of any black managers at the improv though.
Well, no, it was more just
the
sugary family.
The energy, absolutely.
But anyway,
now question for you, because this is something that I don't think I've really talked to not only you, but any Asian comedian about this. Do you, as an Asian comedian, do you feel that you have advantage because you have that well that only you can
to? Right.
Or do you find it to be something that pigeonholes you?
Right. You know, it's both. It's really both. It's like in one way... as a comic or even as an actor, I know there might be an edge because I'm like, well, first of all, there's not as many Asian male comics, so that gives me an edge. Like, even for, like, a booking, it's like, you know, if a school or comedy club wants an Asian comedian, there's, like, five to choose from. So that does give me an edge. But also, because I'm a minority, there's a less of a demand. So it hurts you and helps you. It's, you know, honestly, it's a situation to situation. It changes, you know?
But, like, as a comedian, do you... do you ever, like, I guess, get into a situation where you're writing something and you go, like, oh, you know, it'd be great if I put an Asian twist on this?
Only if it's like there's no other way to do this joke. You know, it's like it's about an experience that happened to me because specifically I'm Asian. And, you know, because and you see me, you see my act, dude. Like, and my fans know this, and I've talked about this in my podcast. Like, I'm not someone, because there are Asian comics who, like, all they do is Asian jokes. And that's just not my cup of tea. You know, it's like, I mean, just like they're a black comic, it's all black people joke. Black and white people are different. There are Jewish comics who, it's, you know, across the board, all they do is Jewish jokes. But my thing is, like, I just talk about everything because that's just the way my mind works. If anything, I think maybe the most frequent topic is, like, dating and sex, because that's what's on my mind all the time.
Isn't that funny?
You know?
Like, I have that, that issue too, that a lot of them, especially now being married,
right,
like a lot of relationship, a lot of sexual stuff, and I was actually kind of working on a bit about this, but it's like I realize so much of my act is about sex, but then I realize it's the biggest thing that anyone can relate to.
Yeah, no, and the thing is,
it really is.
But, and by the way, no one gets tired of it. You know, it's like you could do an hour of Asian jokes, and people are like, "Yo, come on!" But you could do an hour talking about relationships. You know, not just sex, but relationships, and people are like, "Yo, that's cool." You know, like, because we're all in it.
We're all
there.
In it, totally.
You know, I mean, and obviously, we're not talking about, like, you can't do an hour of blue sex jokes, like graphic jokes,
because
it just beats you into the head. Like, look, we get it. Like, cock and pussy go together. We get it. You know, like, or pussy and pussy and cock.
Honey,
and cock.
Have you been doing it wrong?
I know.
Oh my god.
It wasn't
cock and pussy.
Oh, I thought it was, you know, cock and
you got
ear.
Your peanut butter in my chocolate.
You got your cock in my pussy.
Yeah. But no, but the thing is, it's like I will only do Asian jokes that I feel like no one else has talked about. It's original. It's something I connect with personally. Like, this is something that happened to me. But otherwise, I've never sat down and been like, you know what? No one's made a joke about what would it be like if there was an Asian astronaut. Because there's a lot of comics who do that. I'm like, I'm not going to do that because I feel the audience is... I think the audiences are smarter now with the internet and YouTube. You know, I think they see...
I'd be...
Depends on where you go.
Yeah.
I was going to say...
Well, okay. Okay, audiences that are comedy audiences, because like
yes.
You go to certain towns and like this is a comedy like crowd, like they watch comedy. This is not like something they just happen to fall into tonight. Like these are people who come to this comedy club regularly. Like they are regular.
They know people's names.
Exactly.
And whatnot. Yeah.
So fans of comedy can smell hack on you. They're like, oh, really? You're gonna give us that joke? You know, like what if Obama had a fight with an Asian driver? And then you know, it's like really, you're really gonna like do an impression about you know?
Oh
so,
man, that was funny. Finish the bit.
Oh, Obama, bong. That's exactly how it would end. That's pretty much how every bong. Asian, bong. I feel like every Asian joke ends with like, oh, and I'm like, really? You know, so, I mean, it's funny. There's a lot of Asian comics I can't stand, and there's a lot of them that I love. Like, I love Shang Wang. Like, he's, and it's funny, he's got like the most Asian name possible. Shang Wang.
I don't even know him.
Yeah, he got his half hour special the year after I did, and I went to see it live, because I know him, and I went to see it live. He destroyed because his act is he's actually more of an alt comic maybe. Like I don't consider him to be an alt comic. What I'm saying is I can see people calling him that, but his stuff is not really Asian based whatsoever. He's just a smart, funny dude. He just like drops his jokes like bam, 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 and I really enjoy that because like he doesn't rely on that crutch at all. So.
I love hearing that because like I won't say names either,
okay.
But there are some Asian comics out there who. The crux of their act is all about Asian and relatives.
You can just say me. It's okay. You can just say me.
No, I asked because I really don't. I can't remember you doing a specific Asian themed joke.
I mean, I do have. You know, they only come out when I'm doing like it has to be like a half hour to an hour because when I only if you see me at the store and I have 15 minutes, I'm like, well, I have this other stuff I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll open with one Asian joke just to get it out of the way, just to be like, yeah, okay, I'm Asian. Are we good? All right, let's move on. But yeah, you're not going to...
See, when I open with something like that, they don't get it.
Hi, I'm Fripp.
Hi, I'm Flip Schultz. I'm Asian.
Like,
I can't drive.
What?
Nothing? Too soon?
Too soon.
No, but like I'm trying to think off the top of my head. KT Tatara?
Yeah.
I think it's very funny.
Very funny, yeah.
Steve Byrne?
Very funny. I've known Steve for as long as I've been in comedy. He started a year after me, and we used to hang out all the time in New York. And then he... like we had the same manager at one point, and then and that guy's career just taken off because he's a hard worker. Guy busts his ass, so he can't say anything about him. You know?
No, not at all. Who is I just had the name on the fuck. Can't remember who I was just.
His
thinking.
Name is Fock. Is that P-H-O-K?
Fock you.
P-H-U-K. Fock you. You know, by the way,
Y-U-U.
This is a total tangent, but it just reminded me because we're like Fock you. There was this Chinese restaurant, takeout place by my old apartment in New York. Literally, it was called You Like? And it was U, capital U, like. It was like, You Like? Chinese takeout. And I'm like, I used to always go in there like, I like. And it's funny.
And
they would just have a deadpan face. Like, they would have no sense of humor about the name that they chose. I'm like, it fucking says you like outside. You're going to have someone come in and go, me like or I like. You can't look at me like that's the first time you've heard it. You know?
There was a great one in. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ben.
I know. I was just wondering because the way you said it, it's like it's called You Like. I was wondering if the letters actually went up to
create question
the
mark.
Inflection.
You like?
Yeah. You Like?
You Like?
There was a great one of those in Florida. There was a restaurant called the Bangkok Inn.
Okay.
However, there was a second location, so it was the Bangkok Inn 2. And it was one of those places where it said the kind of food still in like lights underneath it,
right.
You know, so it was like a big sign, and the kind of food was Thai. So it said Bangkok into Thai.
Oh my God.
Swear to gosh.
Bangkok into
wherever
Thai.
Gosh might be.
Into Thai.
Bangkok into Thai.
I just banged my cock so hard it's into a Thai.
Oh.
It tied itself into a knot.
Let's
go.
Manchichi.
Anyway, sorry, but you like. I just remember.
That's great.
You know, we were talking about going to New York later this year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, I've been there a couple times. I love it.
Yeah. I've never been before. Never.
Aww.
And I'm from the southern equivalent of New York City. I'm from Boca Raton, Florida.
Why is that the equivalent?
If you've never been, it is literally all New Yorkers.
Oh,
every
really?
New Yorker has moved there to either raise a family or die with their Jewish money.
Okay.
Die with their Jewish money?
Like the coffin's all just New full
York,
of money.
All New York Jews go down there and they buy the extravagant property.
They don't have $1. They have wine dollars. Wine, too.
New York is great. New York is a great city and it's great for comedy,
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when I was there, when I did Gotham, I did Live at Gotham.
Yeah.
I was actually the first comic on the very first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for you, dude.
They aired it out of order, but I was the first. But yeah, I love the city, but I don't know if I could live there.
You know, it's a very specific, you know, vibe to it. Like I get it. I used to, like, when I was younger, I looked down on people like, you can't survive this city. You're a bitch, man. You punk ass bitch. But I realized, like, you know what? That's the same thing. People could say that about LA or New York. It's a vibe. It's like, I don't know if I could live here. Because, like, I mean, I moved to LA 5 years ago, but I had been in LA numerous times before that just for work. And the vibe just didn't connect with me at that time in my life. I'm like, I don't know if I said that many times. Like, I don't know if I could live in Hollywood. I don't know if I could live in Los Angeles. You know, because I was a New Yorker my whole life. But when I moved here, it was just the right time in my life where I was more open-minded. I'm like, let me give it a chance. And now, you know, now I love it here. I love living here, you know?
Well, not that my thing with New York is, like, I couldn't handle it. I think logistically, because I'm such a fucking...
cheap Jew? Is that what you were looking for?
Oh!
No, well, I love you. You know I'm telling
really?
The truth.
You want to play this game? You want to start airing some dirty laundry on it?
No, we've discussed Jerry. This on many other podcasts.
Okay.
No, for me, it was just like, I don't know if I can handle the winters.
That's the thing.
Because we're both from Florida, and we live out here now where the weather is perfect.
Those winters are unbearable. It's really like you just – I've said it so many times. I'm like – it's a very common joke that a lot of comics have. But, like, you know it's cold when as soon as you go outside, the first thing you do is curse. Like, you just go outside and you're like, so – fuck! It's that cold. It is that – it's bitterly, bitterly cold. And, like, it's great. The spring is great. The fall is great. But, I mean, literally that 3 month to 4 month period makes you question, like, I don't know if I can deal – wait, you know, enjoying the rest of the year if I have to deal with these 4 months. It's brutal. And personally for me, I think it hinders sometimes during that 4 months of the year. It hinders your comedy career because you will legitimately be like, I don't know if I'm going outside to go do the show because I don't want to go outside. I don't. And then, you know, it sometimes hurts audiences because people are like, I'm not going outside.
Yeah.
You know? But I grew up in New York my entire life, so I did decades of New York winter. So with no comparison, I was fine with it. But after I moved to LA, like, I was just like, I ain't going back.
Right.
Like, I mean, I will go back to New York if I get a gig that requires me. If I'm like on 30 Rock or something, I'm like, yeah, I got on a sitcom and we film in New York. I'm like, that's totally fine. But right now, I mean, I travel. I can fly anywhere. I'm like, there's no reason for me to be permanently situated in New York.
Yeah, especially the cost of living, from what I understand, is a remarkably higher than what it is.
I mean, if you want to live near Manhattan, like, if you don't mind, you know, living, you know, maybe like a half hour to 45 minutes out of the city, you'll be fine. But then the whole point is, like, well, you're going to New York State to live in New York City, and if you're commuting 45 minutes each way, that's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, what would you say an apartment like the one that we have would cost?
Oh, this? So you have, no, I was about to say,
and
you
there's
have
a bedroom in there, too.
You know, I saw that. You have a pretty decent-sized place. Like, this would be, like, I don't, by the way, I don't know if you'll be able to tell me what you pay here, because I can assume, because this is, because we're, is this considered Burbank specifically?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, did I out you guys? I don't know if you know, want people to know
what you're saying. I don't know if
we're in Burbank. We're in Burbank. We'll leave it at that.
I won't give the street number.
There's
until I'm on my own podcast. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I'm saying, like, this area, this is a nice, I mean, I have cousins who live in Studio City, and it's very nice, and it's, you know, it's a little bit out of town, but it's so cheap, and they don't have a cheap place. I'm saying, it's like, the rent is so low. This size place in New York, easily, I would say, would start at $3,000. Easily.
Wow.
You know, that's not including maintenance.
Utilities,
like, easily would be $3,000.
Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
I don't know if you can ballpark.
We talked to his cousin. His cousin was talking about how she has a shoebox that is probably got, I mean, we're in a, it's hard with people listening, but you would say that she would literally have room to step in, step to a bed, step on the other side to a kitchen, and then maybe take two more steps down and there be a bathroom, and that is the room, and she pays, like, something close to that.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I mean, not exactly that, but maybe $2,000.
No, I mean, I know people in New York, I visit their apartments, and I'm like, you're out of your mind. They're paying, like, somewhere between $1,500 to $2,000 a month for like a studio. And I'm like, why? Like, it's just not worth it. I get it. You want to be in the city. But I'm like, you could get a place for like $800 and just ride the train a half hour. And I personally think it's worth that extra like $600 to $500 a month. Because I'm, dude, it's like, well, on the weekends, you know, I got to travel home. Then, dude, the money you're saving, you could take a cab home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, totally.
For like $40. I don't get, like, I think when you're young, the idea is like, I want to be able to say I live in Manhattan. I'm like, yeah, but you're killing yourself just to make the rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes no sense
for
to me.
For a box, for like something that you can't even stretch in.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like this, I mean, this is a deal, like, you know, in certain areas, like the square footage I seem to see here, like this is like a decent, like this could be like a medium sized house somewhere. Like if this was like a ranch house, like this would be a house.
And you should see that bedroom's pretty big. It's a pretty large. We have a king in there and there's still room for his desk and everything.
Literally, we have a king in there. It's Theo.
All hail the principality.
Hello, I'm King Theo. Welcome to my room.
But I'm assuming what you're paying here is not even close to half of
$300. We pay $300
along
a
with
year.
Me providing
you
dick
Jews
to mouth.
Are good with money.
We're
that
very
is
good.
True. You're
We're
very good
very,
with money.
Very
well, he
good.
Didn't mention that I also do dick to mouth resuscitation
ah,
on the
that's
landlord.
What you did for cash.
Speaking of dick to mouth,
uh-oh.
It is now time for a little part of the show,
okay.
Elliot, a little special part of the show
okay.
that is called The Skippy Green Show.
It's The Skippy Green Show!
Hello, Elliot.
Mr. Green.
Ooh, you got respect. Respect for your elders.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Ching. Is that it, Ching?
It's Ching Chong to you, my good sir.
Fine, Mr. Chong. Love your movies. You have to answer this question.
Okay.
In 10 words exactly.
Okay.
Not 11, not 9.
Oh, shit.
10 right. words. Right. You can use your fingers.
I'm using my fingers. Hold on.
You could use your cock if you want, but from what I understand of Asians, that'll be half a finger.
No!
Is this thing on? All right. 10 words exactly.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm.
Dramatic tension. What is the most unusual thing you've ever put inside a woman? And what was her name?
I have to give my name.
Not your name, her name.
What is the most unusual thing?
In 10 words, exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. Wait, I'm trying to plan it out. damn. You know, I have my answer. The struggle is the 10 words.
All right, look, we really are wasting
okay,
time
okay.
here.
The most unusual thing I put inside her.
we can know, take it
you
in
people
cave-
are supposed to be good with numbers
I know.
Here. Come
I was
on.
Gonna say it can be caveman English. It can be like it.
Excuse me. Okay. You shut the fuck up.
I apologize, Mr. Green.
I'm fucking.
Okay.
This-
oh, no. Wait. I'm gonna redo it. Okay. My unusual thing put inside her is my enormous cock. Yeah, 10! 10!
But you didn't mention her name.
Oh.
You forgot how to fuck. You lose. If there was a prize, you'd be losing right now.
Oh, sorry. If it's a name, it'd be all the bitches I was with. Because it's always the same enormous cock.
That could be its own 10 words.
Oh, do I have to do another? I don't know.
Put that all into 10 words.
Okay.
This is a very long segment.
Okay. I put inside Patricia, my unusually enormous, huge black cock.
Ten. Elliot Chang.
Ten. Ten.
We Woo! Are the champions, my friend.
That's funny.
That was awesome, too.
No, because you know what? I've never used anything weird. It's always been my finger or my cock. My fingers or my cock. So I was like, well, it's, you know, I just have to say the most unusual thing is that I have an enormous cock, which I don't. But I was like, it was the 10 words thing that was racking my brain. I'm like, 10.
That's what makes it interesting. Elliot, thank you so much for coming by, man.
Oh, absolutely. My
this
pleasure.
This was fun.
Dude.
I'm glad we were able to do this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What time? How much time have we done?
We've done. This is just about just an hour.
Holy crap. That just flew by.
Time flies, don't it? Man? I keep talking, but I got to run to do another podcast.
Okay. Okay.
But before I go, I don't want to rush this off or anything.
No, no.
First of all, plugs, Elliot, plugs?
Nothing. Just, you know, I just started a new YouTube channel because I had to close down my old one. And the new YouTube channel is all brand new HD videos, sketches, vlogs, stand-up, heckler videos, which is seen the most popular. So just go to youtube.com/ElliotChangOfficial, all one word.
And that's Elliot with one L.
One L and one T. I know people always get that wrong. But you know what? I mean, in my keyword search, if you typed in two L's or two T's, it'll still come to me.
Okay,
so
and you
good.
Can also go to ElliotChang.com.
ElliotChang.com, or just find me on Facebook. It's very easy. Just Elliot Chang Comedy, one word. But again, if you literally just Google in Elliot Chang, Asian comedian, it'll all come to me. So don't worry about it.
There you go. And as always, Allison Weber, lovely wife, AllisonComedy.com.
Thank you, hon.
Yes. Oh, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for having me in this lovely home.
And don't forget, guys, you can always check me out at flipisfunny.com. Find me on Facebook /FlipSchultz, number two. Twitter, FlipSchultz. And YouTube, FlipSchultz. Also, whatsfordinnerpodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, all that fun stuff. You can catch me this month. We are coming up into August. I'll be in Rancho Cucamonga. On August 8th.
Oh, so will Manga. I.
Yes,
I'm
so will
you.
Allison. Right. And also we'll both be at the Irvine Improv on August 16th.
And hey, if there's anybody out in Riverside, I am playing at the Green Frog with Danielle Stewart this Wednesday, the 1st.
August 1st. So I check think it's Allison out there. Show. And then the last week of August into the first weekend of September, I will be at the Vegas Improv at Harrah's.
Nice.
So come check me out there. As always, guys, thank you so much for the love and support. And please leave a comment over at iTunes. You know that I read them all. And I really appreciate every comment that everyone has given or any email you might send my way. And you know what? If you've got a question that you would like Skippy to propose to any guest, why don't you shoot me an email, flip@flipschultz.com, with a subject line, the Skippy Green Show.
And he'll forward it to Skippy.
And I'll forward it to Skippy. And we can have the question answered to our next guest. And again, guys, thank you very much. Love you all. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Later.